Everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Well, we got lots to talk about tonight here on the program. So glad you could tune in. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the RTR studio. A little bit of snow flying out there, and I want you to know right off the top, we've had a couple of, called brownouts or whatever here at the Racetime Radio studio, where everything just goes right down to nothing and then comes back up. Now, if it does that throughout the course of the show, it's probably going to knock us silly and knock us right offline, and then we'll have to come back up. So just so you know, if we disappear, that's Mother Nature pulling the plug on us, and we'll have to straighten her out and get that plug put back in. That is, if the plug is put back inable. Anyway, Junior, you've been busy all day watching racing, all different kinds of racing. I got a little bit in. I got a little nap in, too.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you have to when it's this type of weather outside. My Lord. Summertime is over, my friend.
No,
it's gone.
It's gone.
But did get a chance, as everybody knows, if you've ever listened to the show before, I'm a short track guy. This weekend is short track weekend.
Mania.
Is short track mania. That's right.
Yeah.
Between Martinsville and all the action going on over at Nashville Speedway, I was kind of glued to a screen all weekend, taking it in and seeing what's happening down there. Just a great outing for our Canadian friends in the Xfinity Series, in the Truck Series, and then as well a rough weekend, but a decent weekend for my buddy Albert Francis over at the All-American 400. What do you think about the weekend of racing? There was a lot of action on that little paperclip down in Virginia.
Man, I was pinned to the truck race. Absolutely loved every second of that truck race. It's got to be the number one series for me. I just absolutely love it. The Nationwide Series was awesome to watch. Xfinity, old guy. Xfinity was dynamite. And I know we're going to talk lots about it tonight, but how about it? We are, of course, supported by Napa.
Yes.
Out in Nova Scotia, Port Hawkesbury, in New Glasgow, and, of course, Andy Ganesh. This show is supported heavily by those three different Napa stores, and it was our Napa car going to Victory Lane in the Cup Series today. Congratulations to Chase Elliott. Dynamite job. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. Grant Enfinger was the man Friday night at Martinsville Speedway in that Gander Truck Series. And I'll tell you what a race. You want to talk about twists and turns in that show? It was right off the hook. Grant Enfinger is going to join us right off the top of the show. Then we're going to parlay that into, we've heard from all the DGM drivers over the last month and a half or so. We've heard from lots of those guys behind the wheel. But tonight, we're going to get to the guy that's behind the desk and on top of the box for those cars. Mario Gosselin is going to join the show tonight. The M in the DGM. Mario Gosselin going to join the show. We'll talk Xfinity, and we'll talk about the final race of the year. We'll have a look back a wee bit. We'll also catch up with Tim Terry tonight, voice of the Parts for Trucks Tour, along with Racetime Radio when we're there. But Tim Terry, everything East Coast. I believe he's got the winterization done, and we're going to check in with Tim.
What entails the winterization of an announcer?
Well, yeah, he's got a lot. Like, he was everywhere this year.
Yeah, no, I get that.
But everywhere in the Maritimes.
Like, I mean, I don't need to be winterized.
Well,
I mean, I try every Friday night with a couple of Coors Lights.
That's what I was going to say.
But
you winterize every Friday.
Every Friday night I winterize.
Sure you do.
It's a proven fact that alcohol is, freezes at a much lower temperature.
In the summer, it's called coolant.
That's right, yes.
In the winter, it's called winter ice.
Antifreeze.
We got snow flying tonight
antifreeze.
Here. So we will catch up with Tim Terry. And then we're going to cap the show with a beautiful look at that final Truck Series Championship. And no better person to talk to than Brad Moran, the director of that Gander Truck Series. It'll be so interesting talking to Brad, finding out what he thought of the pandemic season, and then, of course, having a look into that championship race that we're all going to see come Phoenix next weekend. So that's who we got coming on the show tonight, and we're going to get to it. I'm going to hit this break. When we come back, Grant Enfinger going to be with us live right here on Racetime Radio. Stay right there. We're just getting fired up.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fired up by QuickWick Fire Starters. Available online at QuickWick.com. That's QuickWick, QWICKWICK.com. Use promo code RTR on your next purchase and save.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. QuickWick Fire Starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. QuickWick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian, and so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engines!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home great, away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And right back to it. Thanks, Wheelhouse. That's the stuff. Okay, we are back to it. Let's go to that hotline and let's bring in, as promised. I know I'm a little bit late here. I was supposed to have him like 5 minutes ago. Hopefully I haven't got him jammed up like he was Friday night. Let's welcome in the driver, the number 98 for Thor Sport and a Ford. Beautiful champion on that vehicle. Let's welcome in that Grant Enfinger dude. What's going on tonight there, bud? How you doing?
Doing great, Joe. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, Grant, you made that Friday night race unbelievably exciting. You were in, you were out, you were back in, you were out, and then presto at the end. Man, you were not going to be denied Friday night. You, my friend, are a Final Four.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot easier said than done, that's for sure. We had our work cut out for us on Friday night. And honestly, I feel like we had one of the better trucks out there. We had good speed in our Champion Power Equipment F-150, but we needed a few laps to get going. And man, we just didn't have it there the last 30 or 40 laps. were pretty crazy. A lot of restarts in there. Got pushed around a little bit. Had to do some pushing of our own, and fortunate to come out on the good end of things and punch our ticket to Phoenix.
Obviously, the contact in there, Grant, it's a formula for any short track racing. But when you look back through the field, not just with the race for the lead, it seemed like contact was definitely part of the race on Friday night, all across the board. When you got out front there, I guess towards the end, there was like 45 laps to go, and then you got shuffled back a little bit. Did you think you were done?
You know, I never thought we were done. I'll be honest with you. I think that the most worried I got is actually when our teammate Johnny Sauter hit passed me on a restart on the outside, and man, he was just flat out better than us.
Yep.
So that's who I was more concerned with. I felt like after we got running a few laps, I felt like we could kind of run with anybody else. But yeah, we had so many of those restarts there. You know, we go forward, then we go backwards, then we get knocked back to third, and then we'd make our way to the front and got jacked up a bunch. Had to use our front bumper as well. So just one of those wild and crazy Martinsville races. Seems like the truck races at Martinsville are always pretty rough. But obviously this one being an elimination race, for the playoffs, I think made it that much crazier up front anyway. But I know there was a lot of action throughout the field the whole time. So, just one of those wild and crazy, nights at Martinsville.
That's why we love them so much.
Oh,
just so you know.
Yeah.
I know the crew guys hate it, you know, cause they got to cut them apart and fix them again. But, man, as a fan, you can't get much better than what we watched, Friday night. It was pretty neat. Grant, I know you're a big guy in the shop too. Normally, you know, with all your forms of racing, you're a hands-on guy. You like to, you know, understand every part and piece to every vehicle that you run. Do you get a chance to go back? Obviously, you know, it'll probably take place Monday morning, but wheel-to-wheel contact is something that you see, you know, lots at Martinsville, and it would be really interesting to know, you know, what you kind of see suspension-wise afterwards, you know, on the damage side. Did you knock the wheel out at all getting into the side of the second-place truck there, you know, back and forth?
No, you know, we were fortunate enough to not sustain any mechanical damage the entire night, so that was definitely fortunate. The body's pretty much all done.
Oh yeah,
I think we got a little wrinkles everywhere from the door top down. That'll all be new next time we race that truck. But yeah, we were fortunate enough to not have any suspension damage. I think we did rub some letters off the tires and all, but we didn't knock the toe out or anything like that. To be honest with you, that truck is set over in the corner, for now. The guys, they've been working their tails off. They actually came into work today and got the stuff they needed off of that truck to put on our Phoenix truck, which wasn't much, but a couple of little, one or two little things that we use, week in and week out. So yeah, like you were mentioning, I am a hands-on driver, but since I've been racing at Thor Sport, I don't get up there quite often. I don't work there during the day or anything like that, but I try to get up there every few weeks, and I think I'm in the way more than anything, but I'll try to help out where I can and try to help those guys out some.
Dynamite stuff. We're with Grant Enfinger tonight. He is qualified into the Final Four come Phoenix in the Gander Truck Series. And Grant, last year you were the end season points leader, and disaster broke out. You didn't get into the Final Four. When we take a look at it, you know, Kevin Harvick was the final point standing guy. He just missed it today. And I believe this year Austin Hill was that Truck Series guy, and he didn't get into the Final Four. Maybe that's a curse spot at the Final Four, or the end season championship. Must be a curse spot, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's cursed or not. It is racers, you know, myself, Jeff Hensley, everybody on this 98 team, we want to win everything we got. And, you know, when we were practicing, we'd want to win practice. When we were qualifying, we'd want to win qualifying. And when we're racing, we want to win every race there is. But, Yeah, it's kind of crazy how that's worked out this year. It's been a little bit different, but you know, this playoff format, it's all about peaking at the right times. You know, and last year we were solid the entire year. Had a little bit of bad luck in the first round of the playoffs that eliminated us, but we were kind of solid everywhere we'd go. Speed wise, felt like on average we were a top five truck pretty much everywhere we go last year. This year has been, you know, I don't know if it's been the opposite, but it's been drastically different for us. We've you know, we flat out missed it, you know, a few times, and then we have all the way hit it a few times, and then we've, you know, kind of been just okay a few times. You know, it seems like we've obviously clicked off some wins. We've got four wins this season, which I'm extremely proud of for everybody on this 98 Thor Sport team. But you know, we really haven't had our consistency, but the end of the day, it's about peaking, and now, you know, we just got to perform at one more race. So I feel like we're up to the challenge that's in front of us. I feel like we've got as good a shot as anybody to come hoist the big trophy there at the end of Phoenix, and feel really good about our short track package in general. I feel like that's probably been the place where we've improved the most with our team. So man, just a crazy turn of events. But we're looking forward to the challenge next week.
Well, if there's anybody in that final four that can address this race that he the way you need to, Grant Enfinger, I believe you are the man to watch in this final race at Phoenix coming up. Now, it's been a goofy year. You guys haven't had practice and qualifying at times, and it's just been a goofy pandemic season. Is Phoenix going to be the same as the rest of the season? Or is there any way that they're going to be able to cut out a little bit of practice time for you and a little bit of qualifying for you? Or is that out the window?
No, that's out the window. No practice, no qualifying. Just line them up and go like we've been doing the rest of the year. So, obviously, you know, that's not what we want to see as drivers or anything like that. But that's what we've had to do to make it through this year. And man, with... You know, as much as I hate it, you know, I'd love to have practice. I actually have to give NASCAR some credit on how well they've done through this pandemic. The fact that we haven't, you know, had to cancel any races or do anything crazy since we've gone back racing. So, you know, as much as we want to be practicing, as much as we want to have the stands full and all of that, I feel like, Given the circumstances, they've done the best job possible. So, it's going to be just another, you know, we'll find out what we got in turn one, lap one.
Turn one, lap one. Yeah, hang on, right? That's what you're going to need to do. What's your Phoenix book look like when you look through it? Is it a good, solid situation, you think? Or do you guys have some work to do throughout the course of the race as it develops come this weekend?
We'll find out. You know, our notebook, you know, I feel like it's heartbreaking is us falling out of the playoffs last year was. We actually used Phoenix last year as a test. We brought something there that we had never run anything like that anywhere and tried to get ahead of it because we knew this time last year we knew that was going to be the championship race. So we I feel like learned some stuff last year that's actually translated into a little bit of our short track success this year. So I feel good about that. These are different tires than we ran last year, but they're the same tires that we have run at a couple other tracks earlier this year that we performed well at. So, you know, I feel confident, you know, and I think if there's anything that this 98 team excels with, it's making our truck better throughout the race. If we don't unload just perfect, 9 times out of 10, by the end of the race, we've gotten it a lot better. So, you know, I feel like we're going to start out good, but if we don't, I got all the confidence in the world that we'll get it tuned up and be ready to fight for it by the end of it.
All right, Grant. Now I I think everybody that listens knows you've been on the show a lot. You've been on Racetime Radio a lot over the years. And it seems like every year we have you on, whether it be this week or the week prior or the week after, And we always ask you the same question towards the end of the interview, and is that, are we going to see a return for Grant Enfinger in the Snowball Derby?
You know, that's the plan right now. I'm talking to someone about running their car down there, and I feel like it's going to happen. It's not for sure, not a done deal or anything like that yet, but I feel like this year might be the year I return down there. So yeah. It's definitely a track that I love. It's a race that I love. I raced it quite a few times, but I've missed it the last three or four, heck, maybe 5 years now.
Yep.
So I definitely look forward to returning, but it is not official yet.
Well, make it official. Whoever needs to sign on the dotted line, just sign on it.
Champion, because I think, get on this.
Somebody's got to. We want to see you back in there. Obviously, we're late model guys, and you know, it would be definitely cool to see you out there. And go get it, man. Go get the championship, and then we'll talk to you next week. You'll have a championship. You'll have the Snowball Derby signed up. You'll have everything done, and we can have another interview next week.
That sounds like the perfect plan to me, Joe.
10-4.
Dynamite stuff. Grant, good luck, buddy. Go get him. And this week you've got Matt Crafton and Ben Rhodes and Johnny Sauter, all his teammates. But those guys are only teammates in the shop, either. Are they going to cut you any slack, come Phoenix?
You know, I mean, the deal is that Phoenix, it's not like you can really help your teammate. Honestly, you can only hurt them. So, feel like we've all got a pretty good relationship as far as that goes, but we race hard. So, you know, if it comes down to it and we're racing a teammate for the win, I don't expect to get any gifts given to us there. But you know, the biggest thing that the teammates help you with, I feel like, is, you know, being able to tune our stuff in during practice, after practice, being able to debrief and stuff like that. Well, obviously us not practicing or anything like that, it doesn't help so much, you know, from a performance standpoint. So, man, it's still good to have good teammates that you talk to afterwards. But as far as tuning our stuff on, you know, we're showing up and we got what we got.
That's going to be dynamite. I know no one is going to miss this Gander Truck Series race. Grant, good luck in it, bud. Go get them. And like Junior says, hopefully we get you back on here. That would be dynamite.
Sounds like a good plan. Thank you, guys.
You betcha. Driver of the number 98 for Champion Power Equipment, Thor Sport. He's in a Ford. Dynamite job. Joe, if anybody can get this job done, I got a real good feeling about this year for Grant Enfinger.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think that, you know, he touched on it a little bit through the show or through the beginning portion of that interview. You know, he seemed like through the middle portion of this year, they really missed it in some places, and they really hit it in some other places. And that comes with comfort. You know, Grant's now a veteran in the truck series.
Yep.
And he knows, his crew knows, the owner knows, everybody knows that he deserves to be there. And I think one of the things that you see, you know, young drivers do is they try to not have any mistakes. And by not allowing yourself to have mistakes, you don't get a chance to really stretch your legs and get after it, if you will.
Yeah,
you
know, find the speed, and that's what he had this year.
In order to be a champion at this deal, you need to have the confidence in order to do it, but you have to have the confidence in order to fail as well. And that comes from taking risk. So when you look at any of the top teams and you look at the point structure and how it happens now and how you become a champion, you need to hit it 99.9% of the time. And you know, in order to do that, nobody can be perfect. But in order to do that, you need to take risks and you need to find advantage. And you need to be able to, you know, really miss it hard in order to get out there and get after it. And what you see out of Grant Enfinger and what you see out of Thor Sport right now is a bunch of Hail Marys. They keep on throwing Hail Marys, and those are the things that work over time once you start figuring out how to run the field, right? And what you see out of Grant Enfinger and really the entire team that he's got assembled there is aggression. And I think out of the four that are in the championship hunt, he's the guy with the most amount of aggression, and really, at the end of the day, I think he's got the most experience in crazy situations like this. So, I would have to agree with you if I was going to be creating the odds. I don't think that they have the overall speed, the lights out, hair on fire speed.
They haven't got the same speed, I wouldn't think, as
what the GMS guys have.
Sheldon Creed. Yeah. Those and guys have really got a lot of speed.
But execution on the other side, and the ability to get the job done, I would have to rank Grant Enfinger as P1 on the list. So my odds would definitely be skewed towards him just simply because I think that he's got the best chance at closing the deal.
He checks all the boxes.
All the boxes.
Yes.
Except for the, you know, hair-raising speed that you see from the GMS guys. And I think that if they can get out of the box and be strong right out of the gate, they've got the cat by the tail, if you will, heading into the final stage at Phoenix. So it'll be interesting to see, and obviously, you know, we are fans of the sport, right? There's no question about it. We are fans of the sport, and Grant Enfinger has been a real good friend to Racetime Radio all the way through.
Years since he was in ARCA and driving late models. Yep. Grant Enfinger's been with us all the way.
I'm definitely a fan of what Grant is doing, and I really mean it when I say it. I'm pulling for him.
Yeah, me too. Me too, absolutely. And you can't discount, like you say, Sheldon Creed, Brett Moffitt, those guys, honestly, they're going to be lights out fast because they have been.
Yeah, ultimately, at the end of the day, all four of them are a good story for the truck series. All four of them. If any of those four are the champion, which one of them will be, it's a good thing for the truck series. They are all deserving.
Yes.
They all deserve to be there. And, you know, at the end of the day, the truck series is going to be a phenomenal race come Friday night over in Phoenix.
Well, one guy that snuck in right at the very end, and I mean snuck in, was Zane Smith. He is also in the final four. Here's what he had to say in the media center at the end of the race at Martinsville.
Yeah, my first time here, and it was, like I said, everything I expected plus more. I don't know if this is Martinsville or Bowman Gray. It's pretty bad. But, kind of didn't expect any less, I guess. But I'm really looking forward to Phoenix. This was my goal, was to make the final four and get to Phoenix, because I know that's definitely top three best racetracks of mine, and I can't wait to get there.
Zane has had some good success this year. He's had some really good success, but I was sort of watching the 88 Matt Crafton, watching him, and he needed to finish ahead of Zane. If he did, he was in.
Yep.
And there was no way Zane drove into the side of him and away he went.
Yeah, I mean,
it was wild.
When you look at Zane's driving career, he's had a bunch of opportunities and really great equipment. But they've been sporadic. You know, he's never had this chance to run for a championship and at the top tiers of NASCAR, right? He's jumped in really good equipment with JRM. He did some great things with MDM in the K&N series and did lots of great things in the ARCA series and truck series before this, with other great teams. But really, you're seeing a new Zane Smith. You're seeing somebody that's week in and week out. It proves the value of being there week in and week out.
Right.
You know, when you look at a guy like Tagliani making one truck start in the year, and that's the Daytona Road Course.
Right.
You can't expect somebody that is doing this once a year or three times or five times or even 10 times a year to be as competitive as somebody who's doing it every week. And when you look, unless they're doing it in a series above it, you know, like a guy that races, you know, full time in the Cup Series can come down and race one, two or five truck races and be competitive
and shine.
But guys who aren't at that level constantly at that same level, don't have the ability to carry on and get after it. But Zane Smith this year has impressed a tremendous amount of people. He's a personable person. He's aggressive on the racetrack. He doesn't make a whole lot of enemies out there. And you know, you have to go back to the execution comment that I made, about Grant Enfinger. And out of the three GMS trucks, he has had less catastrophic failures than the other two. You know, like on the DNF side and on the failure side. But he hasn't had the level of results that the other two have had. And, of course, we're talking about Brett Moffitt and Sheldon Creed. So, really, as a favorite on the point side and you know, as somebody who is you know, I think a runner-up or a favorite for the championship would be Zane out of them. But it's going to be a dogfight. You know it. You're going to see all four of those trucks up front at some point or all night on Friday night, and it'll be really interesting to see who comes out on top.
Raphael Lessard was
great
looking really, really good at the end of this
race.
Got
turfed.
Man, he. I'll tell you what, when he rolls into Phoenix, he'll be spitting nails still.
Yeah.
So he's got something to prove. Watch out for that number four truck. And Raphael Lessard, he did a fantastic job at Martinsville, didn't get the results, and you can't keep your eyes off the 52 of Stu Friesen. That man is coming. He's posting results now. Another top 10 finish. Believe it was sixth, but another one that showed great promise throughout the course of the race. All I can say is don't miss Phoenix. We'll talk more about Phoenix and more about trucks in hour number two with the director of the series, Brad Moran. But we are going to hit this break, and when we come back, we're going to switch the conversation to Xfinity, and we're going to do it with one of the owners. We got Mario Goslin on the other side of this break. Stay with us. We are just rolling.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work. No paper or kindling. And presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes. Just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me? I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady.
Me?
Anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You? Talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me?
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
Time Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Well, big, big weekend at Martinsville Speedway. And I know everyone in Canada had their eyes glued, as they always do, with the Xfinity race to find out how the 92, the 36 and the 90 are going to do for DGM. We always keep our eye on our Canadian guys, and I'll tell you what, the results are coming. They've had a great season, and they still got one more to get the job done and prove that they are the winners in the Xfinity Series. To talk more about that, I thought, what a guy. Let's get right to the top. We'll grab the guy at the top, and that's Mario Gosselin. And we got him on the hotline right now. What's going on tonight there, Super Mario?
Oh, just got back a little while ago and starting to think about make plans for getting these cars ready for Phoenix. You know, we've only got about 3 days to get everything ready and back on the road again.
Yeah, there is no real downtime for you guys. That'll come in a week's time. Where do you prepare the cars, Mario? Do they get prepared in Charlotte, or are they all the way down at your shop in Florida?
No, we're in Florida, Lake Wales, Florida.
So the car's got to make the tour all the time back to Florida. Would it pay any dividends at all to be in Charlotte, or do you like being where you're at?
Yeah, I'm kind of happy where I'm at. You know, I don't know. There's pros and cons, you know, to being in Charlotte. But I mean, I've got, you know, all my shop and all my equipment and everything here in Lake Wales. And you know, kids are in school, families here, and you know, parents and grandparents, and just pretty happy where I'm at.
It's warmer down there in the wintertime.
I doubt it. You're a lot better than we are right now. There's snow flying up here, and I know you don't miss that at all, do you?
No. I like the warm weather, and you know, I feel like we're in a good location. I mean, obviously, right there in the middle of Charlotte, it makes it a little easier to get some parts and get some things at sometimes. But I think it's as far as having the same people, keeping the same people, and good dedicated people to the team. I like where I'm at.
And you guys are doing a dynamite job. Mario, no doubt at all. When we look at 2020, it has been a goofy year. No practice for you guys, no qualifying. But one thing that I have really noticed, because I watch every Xfinity race, or at least just about every one of them, it's noticeable this year that you guys have picked up speed on all three cars, not just one of them, but all three of them are coming along now. Josh Williams, Alex Labbe, and either Dexter in the 90, or this weekend it was Donald Teige in the 90. It's noticeable that you've picked up speed, and that's got to feel good for you.
Well, it does, and I mean, obviously, when we learn something, we apply it to all three cars, you know, and we try to update as we go, and you know, do it all for all three teams the best we can. You know, Josh has had an awesome last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, even he should have had four top tens in a row. Kind of got dumped there at Charlotte Roval, but you know, ran second and third a lot of that race until that restart, you know, where he got turned around. But those guys have come around, and you know, Josh always does a good job. It was just nice to finally be able to put the finishes together.
Mario, you know, we're seeing, you know, and this, I don't want to back you into a corner with this question, but we're seeing, you know, NASCAR take, you know, some pretty dramatic steps, and we've seen it kind of in the ARCA series as well, going to a spec motor, if you will. NASCAR has taken kind of a different stance with the Xfinity deal, and it's more of a spec body now. But do you see the day, is it coming, you know, sooner rather than later, where we see kind of a spec motor program in the Xfinity series as well?
I don't know. There was talk of that for some time, and then seems like we've backed away from it. And honestly, from my standpoint, yeah, they would probably save the big teams a lot of money. It would end up costing us some money. I think
gotcha.
If you look at the ARCA series, unfortunately, it's hurt the ARCA series, all these changes that they've made. I mean, I remember seeing 45, 50 cars.
Yep.
60, 65 cars at Daytona ARCA race. And then, you know, heck, they struggle to get 20 cars now, you know.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, it's a big difference. It's a noticeable difference. And hopefully they can get that corner turned. I know when the amalgamation took place with the K&N cars and the Yorka cars, that was the beginning of the decline. That, to me, that's when it was. The years before that, like you say, we'd show up at Daytona, and there was a mess of guys. I was doing interviews at ARCA, and I had to download my recorder. I had so many interviews on it.
Yeah.
It was that crazy. But, Mario, when you look at the Xfinity Series, and we look at those big teams, what have they got that you don't have? Is there anything you can put your finger on? Like, is it horsepower? Are you lacking horsepower, or is it drivability? What is it?
Well, I think it's all of it, a little bit of everything. I mean, obviously they have, you know, they have sim programs. They have the ability to almost, you know, we're not allowed to test, but you look at those factory back teams and the crew chiefs and the drivers are get sim time and they can try different setups and learn a lot that way. And obviously, you know, they have multiple engineers on staff and just a lot deeper resources than we have, you know. So it's not one thing, it's a lot of little things, you know, and that's why it feels so good that we've been able to outrun some and a lot of those guys here lately.
Yeah, you're picking it up, and that's what you all wanted to do, was pick it up. But it's got to feel fantastic when you start seeing those top 10s, because you guys were notorious for doing top 20s, and now you're up into the top 10s, and it won't be long. Can you see the day when you're going to be the top five guys?
Well, I mean, we keep trying hard and making things better, and I think it's possible that we're going to get there, definitely at certain tracks. We're there already, you know. So we just keep giving it all we got and keep getting better. So hopefully we are consistently top tens. I mean, we're there now, but not at all tracks. And we had a really good string of races. But I'd like to be more consistently in the top ten and the top fives, and the wins will come.
We're with Mario Goslin tonight, GM of DGM Racing in the Xfinity Series, the second level of NASCAR competition. Mario comes into this with a hoard of racing knowledge and experience, going right through your late model days. It was kind of cool, Mario. Got to also say happy birthday to you. I know it's later. That was last week. But it was kind of cool seeing a post that went through the years with Mario Goslin. You're out of Quebec, born and raised in Quebec, now Floridian. But when you look through the years, and I look back to that Jackaroo barbecue sauce car, man, you were, in your day, you were the man.
Well, we certainly won a lot of races and some championships and had a lot of fun doing it. And for sure, there was a time there where, you know, when we pulled in the racetrack, they were like, oh, boy.
Yeah. You know? All those
guys. They knew we were a threat to win, that's for sure.
Those guys are here again. Oh, no. That's the way they were looking at it, and it's kind of cool. And how about this? We see Can-Am step back into the arena. Can-Am, good sponsor of the 36 car with Alex Labbe. Kind of cool to see him step back in for four races this year. And I guess, Mario, that the corporate sponsorship side of it has got to play a key role in helping you guys move up through the field. And is that coming along? Do you feel a noticeable difference this year with the corporate support on the cars?
For sure, for sure. And that's a direct relation to us, you know, running better. And, I'm not going to lie, we struggled to piece the whole year together with Alex. You know, a lot of races were race to race, and Can-Am, you know, stepped up and made it possible for us to finish out the year with them. And I know Alex is working with them to put together a plan for next year. So looking forward to that. In the next few weeks, and we were fortunate enough that we got a deal put together with Josh and all of Josh's supporters. Are all coming back, and we're proud of that, very happy with that. And this is a first for us to actually have that kind of commitment this early for next year. So that it's going to make a very big difference in how Josh performs coming out of the box, starting the season. Us knowing ahead of time what we're doing, what we have to work with, and being able to start prepare those cars and work all winter, it's very welcome, very nice.
Mario, obviously there's an undeniable Canadian connection to your race team with yourself and you know multiple people on your team being you know from Canada and even behind the wheel having other Canadians and Alex and you know Donald and those guys behind the wheel there's a lot of Canadian connection but one thing that we see in the top tiers of NASCAR is you know there's a tremendous amount of you know support from the Mexican companies supporting Mexican drivers. Do you see? I know that you've got some Canadian partners, but do you see a day where we see more of an influx from the Canadian side of corporate, you know, Canada to be a part of what you guys have going on?
Well, I mean, I sure hope so, and I think Alex has put together a really good package, you know, as far as those people being able to see return on investment, you know, whether it be, you know, through social media or through TV coverage. So I think we're starting to see that. Obviously, we need to see a lot more of it. But looking forward to next year, I feel like Alex will be able to put together a better program than we had this year. Hopefully we can put it together early. We're looking forward to it. And I feel like next year is going to be a big year for us.
Yeah, here's hoping. I know that's what we're all hoping for, too, and pulling for, Mario. You are deserved. The teams are deserved. And it's going to be off the hook. Let's take a look now at Phoenix, the final race of the year. Is there, first of all, you got anybody going in the 90 car? Are you going to concentrate on the 92-36?
No, Donald will be back with us at Phoenix. It was a two-race deal with Donald. And we're obviously trying to keep that car in the top 30. I'm not sure going to Daytona next year if we're going to get to qualify or if it's going to be how it's been during this COVID deal where there's no qualifying and obviously the top 30 are locked in. So one of our goals is to keep that 90 in the top 30. And obviously, you know, Josh and Alex, 92 and 36, you know, go there with everything we got and try to get some top 10s and keep those guys in the top 20 in points. We're there. We're pretty solid top 20 in points, owners and drivers. And that was our goal starting the year, and we're there. And then,
yeah, and that's what you needed to do. The 90 car, we got to give Donald Teese a shout-out out on the program. We had him on last weekend heading into the race at Martinsville. I kind of think he would have had a better result had he not got hammered from behind in that race. That's got to frustrate the living daylights out of you, sitting on top of the box, trying to watch three cars. But when you see one downright get turfed, it's got to drive you right around the bend.
Yeah, I mean, Donald started, I think it was 28th, and it didn't take but a few laps, and he was almost in the top 20. So he was doing a hell of a job behind the wheel and caught some good breaks there, and I felt like he was going to get him a top 15 finish. You know, no doubt in my mind he was going to get him a top 15 finish there. And a little miscommunication between Donald and the spotter, and he came down and those guys, you know, don't remember who he was racing at the time. I think it might have been the five of Matt Mills. Kind of had his nose in there. Wasn't in there very deep, but I wouldn't say it was Matt's fault. Maybe not Donald's fault, but both fighting for the same piece of real estate. And unfortunately, he got turned around. And once these cars are very finicky. I mean, as soon as a car gets damaged, it's really hard to get some speed back out of them, or get the maximum speed out of them, I should say.
And a little bit of damage can go a long way in knocking the speed out of the car. So, but and now let's talk about Alex for a second too. He was running really, really good. And then, what, developed a carb issue or a fuel issue in the car?
Yeah, and carburetor. I've seen that probably, I don't know, three times in 30-something years. But it's the kind of year we're having this year with Alex. I feel like we're going to have a top 10, top 12 run. Car was not quite to his liking. It was still really, really good on the long run. Struggled a little bit early. Tire pressures might have been a little too low. Struggled a little bit early. Car came around, and then towards the end of that run there was really running some good lap times, making some moves, passing some cars. And unfortunately, carburetor issues, we had to go behind the wall, change the carburetor. Once you get, you know, three laps down, you can't never get in a position to get lucky dog. We were able to get take the wave around and get one lap back.
Right.
But just could never recover.
Yeah.
You take that wave around and then you end up giving it all back anyways, right? Because of your your tire situation and all that stuff. It's it's definitely difficult, but awesome to watch, Mario, I hope you can feel, you know, the love from the Canadian supporters from Racetime Radio, and there's definitely a lot to pull for every single time there's a there's an Xfinity race on. The buzz up here that you guys create, I know living in Florida, you probably don't hear much of it other than social media, but you don't seem like the guy that's sitting there on Twitter scrolling through a whole lot. It seems like you're the guy that's twisting some wrenches back in the shop, but there's definitely a lot of buzz here. And lots of people talking about what you're doing.
Well, for sure. I mean, we definitely see it and feel it, and a lot of people are reaching out to us, and it's not just to Alex, it's to Josh also, which is really neat. A lot of Canadian fans have gotten behind Josh, and obviously they're behind Alex, but they've just gotten behind our whole team, and that's awesome feeling, you know. And we go out there every weekend and try to make miracles happen, you know. I'm proud of where we're at and what we've done. Obviously, you hate weekends like this where, you know, one gets tangled up and turn around and then we have a mechanical issue. Doesn't reflect the hard work that we've put in, but we've got one more here. We're going to go give it hell, and then we got a few months to regroup and charge the batteries and get all these cars ready and maybe put some different things in motion so that we can prevent some of these little mechanical issues and things we've had happen this year.
Well, if anybody can do it, Mario, it's Super Mario. You get those teams going down there and get it flying. I did tell Josh that if he keeps the top tens coming, we may even let him be a Canadian. I don't know. Should we let him be a Canadian?
What was his response to that?
Oh, it was ha, 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 laugh out loud. That's what it was. I thought, well, as long as now to be a Canadian, you got to be able to drink beer like a Canadian. I don't know whether he can do that.
Nah, I think he's going to struggle there. He's not a big beer drinker. He likes to have a lot of fun, though.
Oh, you can tell that. All you got to do is follow him on Twitter. There is fun. That's his middle name. It's Josh Fun Williams. That's what it is. But Mario, this has been great catching up with you. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. I know I can't wait for that first day in Victory Lane. You can guarantee you'll have a whole country in Victory Lane when you do it, and you'll have all of us pushing you all the way to it.
Well, we appreciate all the support, and we appreciate you having us on your show.
Well, we'll check in with you through the off season and find out how the preparations are coming. Keep us up to date on everything, DGM, and we'll definitely keep our country up to date on how you're making out down there in NASCAR Xfinity, bud.
Well, I appreciate that, and we should have some big news coming in the next month or so, and we'll make sure to reach out to you and let everybody know what's going on.
Absolutely. That is Mario Gosselin. Joe, I got to say, you know, it wasn't that many years ago we could sit down on a weekend and watch a track race and see a Canadian in it. Like, here and there, every now and then, you would see one in it, but not on a consistent basis like we do today.
Yep.
Same thing in the Xfinity Series. Oh, when we went to Montreal, Villeneuve would jump in, or Patrick Carpaccia, yeah. He'd jump in. Or, you know, Ron Fellows would jump in for a race.
Yep.
But then that was it.
Yep.
We didn't have anything on a consistent basis. And today, and the last few years, I'll tell you what, the Truck Series has got more exciting. The Xfinity Series definitely has got more exciting. With all the different support and Canadian involvement, it sounds crazy, but we are very patriotic up here. We're very proud of the guys that we produce. And from a racer base, you're not going to beat them.
Yeah. When you look at, you know, I've actually had this conversation quite a few times with guys offline, not necessarily on the program, but, you know, for every time that you see a Canadian guy down there and cutting his teeth, they're paving the road, right? They're knocking the road another 50 feet.
Yep.
They're knocking the road another 50 feet to getting an opportunity. And not necessarily for themselves, but for their countrymen, right? And
yes.
When you look at, I have to, you know, point the finger back. You know, you can point the finger all the way back to guys like Earl Ross and those guys going
yes.
down there, winning races, being competitive. Guys like Junior Hanley, right? It's not a new thing for a Canadian to be a successful race car driver down south. It's not a new thing, but it's a very difficult proposition to have.
Well, so far to go.
When you look at, you know, and I'm going to go way back here, but to DJ Kennington running full time for Randy McDonald.
Yes, I remember
I'm a firm believer that was not knocking the road 50 feet. It was knocking the road 1,000 feet,
yep.
you know, at a time.
Yep.
And weekly. Because right around that same time, we seen, you know, J.R. Fitzpatrick get an opportunity to drive for Junior Motorsports and Kevin Harvick Incorporated and those guys.
TRD?
Wasn't full-time, but had
right.
opportunities.
Right.
Guys like Petey Shepard won the Gong Show and moved on down through the ranks.
Jack Roush.
And then, you know, you look at guys like Andrew Ranger getting opportunities in ARCA and going out and winning in that waste management car.
He did
all
awesome.
Of those opportunities paved the road for a lot of these guys. Now, I'm not saying that Stuart Friesen is in a truck because Andrew Ranger won an ARCA race.
No.
That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But what I'm saying is every time a Canadian goes down there and does well, it inspires other people to realize that they can do it. There's no secret today that if you have enough money, you could run the Daytona 500 next year or the year after. You could do it if you have enough money. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to become Denny Hamlin or you're going to become William Byron.
No.
It doesn't. You have to have talent. You have to be able to remain there. You have to be marketable. You have to have marketing partners. You have to do all of those things. But if you're smart enough, And you're driven enough and you're passionate enough, you're going to surround yourself with people who have money, people who have the ability to make it happen. And you know, we've never had a Canadian team owner that has been as dedicated to the sport as we have with Mario Gosselin. You know, you think back,
yes.
we had the Go Canada Racing with the 67 car.
They took a shot at it, right?
They took a shot at it and
pushed the road.
And they pushed the road forward. But, you know, the ability to have a Canadian-centric team in the sport is there. It's feasible. And I think our base up here in Canada is strong enough now to sustain these Canadians going down there and doing this. And, you know, it takes a long time for people to realize the value that they can generate with this sport. But once they realize it, they're hooked, right? It becomes an addiction. And the ability to get there and to push the road forward, Mario Gosselin is doing that in spades, and I would point right back to what DJ Kennington was able to do, and that was a long time ago, but we're seeing it come to fruition today.
Yeah, it is, and that's a good analogy, and looking over the years and to see what JR has done and to see what DJ has done, so many good drivers. And the opportunity is getting bigger, Canada. It's going to happen. We are going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and highlights. Takes 90 seconds. And then we're back for hour two tonight, live on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 167. Stay there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by The Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, presto, hour two begins tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in. Got to welcome all of our listeners on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks, as well as everybody live on racetimeradio.com. Maybe you're tuned in throughout the course of the week. You're tuned in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. Hello to absolutely all of you as well. Gearhead Country Radio 98.9 XFM, Anticonish, Nova Scotia. And if you've missed the show, you want to get it on your time, grab it off of racetimeradio.com or iTunes. You can get it in both locations. Absolutely, whenever you feel like it, you can have a listen back to absolutely all of our guests, and they've been stellar all the way through. And this next one is going to keep that bar right up there. Let's welcome in Tim Terry from Canada's East Coast. He's got his eye on everything Maritimes, and I believe Timmy's got everything put to bed, but we're going to find out right now. Let's welcome him in. Tim Terry, what's going on out there in the East Coast? What's happening?
I feel like with that intro, I have high expectations or something.
Ah, you should. You're the man out there, Timmy. You keep us all wired in, man.
We hold you to a very high standard, Tim.
Well, if it helps, I don't think I have to answer who's driving the zero car this year.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
At least I think we got that one out of the way this winter.
But I haven't talked to you since you held out all winter last year, and that's intentional. I don't like you anymore, Tim.
Okay, that's understandable, though.
Okay, I'm just kidding, buddy.
Let's start the conversation now. Who's going to drive the zero car next year?
As far as I know, it's Matt Vaughn. Yeah. I kind of thought that was the name going in. Matt did great in his first couple of starts. Keep in mind, the kid had never driven a pro stock before, had a couple of tests, but never driven a pro stock in a race before. And then to go to Petty International Raceway and have your first one there is kind of a tall feat. But Matt did well. Had a couple of starts, obviously, with the Jim Hallahan 250 and the Tourmont Cat 150. Ran a couple of sportsman races, won a sportsman race in Scotia this year. So I think he had a pretty good season overall, albeit the condensed season that we had.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Tim, wholeheartedly. He did a damn good job. But, man, oh, man, you can't deny that this year was absolutely bar none the goofiest year we've ever had in Canada. I look at Sauble Speedway right here that I help out each and every week. We had one event that was a rental unit. We didn't even operate it. We handed the keys over to somebody else to run it, and it ran one day. And you cannot run speedways like that. I know it's Scotia Speed World. You guys got a few at the end of the year. Other than New Brunswick, they were really the only ones that got any kind of meat on the bone, and they didn't get started until, what, June? Wasn't it late?
Yeah, it was the end of June, and they really didn't have crowd restrictions. There was a couple of crowds that might have been a little bit too big for the COVID restrictions. I think Wayne and Ellen got a couple of visits from the Health and Safety Board, but everything checked out. They got a clean bill of health, and everything was great. It's kind of funny. I'm actually sitting in the parking lot of the Rath Eastlink Center. Just came from the Truro Bearcats game, and they're only allowed 300 200-person pods. So in an arena that sits nearly $2,000, they're only allowed 600. And it was considering what they had, it looked pretty packed. And it's the same deal with Scotia SeaWorld. They were allowed 1250 for their Jim Hallahan 250 at the end of the year. Riverside, same thing. Scotia started out one race with no fans, then it got to 250, and then it continued on. But Oyster Bed Speedway did not open this year. Restrictions on PEI did not allow them to open. Eastbound Park. I think Mike James told me they had 600 near the end of the year or 400 at the end of the year for fans, but it took them a little while to get going. They only had three. So it's New Brunswick was, I think, the best in Canada, and we saw some phenomenal racing there. Speedway Miramichi, Petty Raceway, Speedway 660 did a great job this year, and then hopefully everything starts coming around for all the other tracks, but most of them did get some racing in if it was only one show.
Yeah, it was just murderous, to say the least, but through all of that, we were at least able to see some guys come up and start to shine through all of the muck. And it was amazing to see, Tim. Jonathan Hicken, that guy there owns Petty International. If I was Hicken, I'd go over to Wayne and just say, give me the keys. I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to run every Saturday night. That guy would just take home all the dough.
Yeah, I think the biggest story was the Jonathan Hicken-Ashton Tucker show.
Yep, agreed.
Ashton on the other side took the Remax 250 home. Won a couple of races, the Riverview Ford Lincoln season opener, the best, won a Bubble Buster at Petty Raceway, top three at Scotia Speed World, just completely missed it at Riverside, but, you know, you're going to run into some of those when you go along on a hot streak. That top 10 finish might not be the best, considering that you finished second and third every single week and picked up a couple of victories here and there. Jonathan Hicken, obviously, Petty International Raceway is his home racetrack, per se, this year with no Oyster Bed Speedway. Did okay at Riverside, did okay at Speedway 660, did okay at Scotia. I think the biggest news coming out of this is Jonathan Hicken is set to retire from full-time competition at the end of this year. He's transitioning into car owner. I think Ethan's got a Bandolero, or there's one coming up the line for him. So car is for sale. It was at King Racing. I don't know if it's still for sale. I know from hearing through the grapevine there were a couple of bites on it. I don't know if the gavel came down on the sale or not yet, but Jonathan Hicken had the great season. We won't see him full-time in 2021, but it's out.
Well, Jonathan, this message is directly at you. Thanks for telling us.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Thanks, Jonathan.
He probably just come up with it right at the end.
I'm calling him out directly.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, too. I hope you listen to this, Jonathan, and I hope you hear the disdain in my voice. But thank you very much, Tim. So you're back in my good books.
Yeah,
okay, there you go.
There you go.
it took something, right?
That's right, that's right.
Just a little tidbit of information.
Tim, looking at that news, obviously, you know, we heard, not this season, but last season, we heard Dylan Blankhorn kind of say that exact same thing, that he was going to be stepping away from full-time competition. Now, he did announce this year that he was going to be back full-time, and then, you know, obviously all the craziness happened. But... you know, when you look at Ashton Tucker right now, he would kind of have to be the favorite heading into next season alongside with the Butchers, but we still don't know what Cole is going to be doing either on the other side of this pandemic either.
Yeah, what's the schedule going to look like?
Exactly.
That's the next thing. If we have a Maritime Pro Stock Tour schedule that looks similar to, you know, 1918, the first 19 years of this series, and Ashton Tucker runs full-time, and that's the other thing, because Ashton runs a Brad Sillicker Motorsports. That team is not a full-time team. So if they were to run full-time, I'd say absolutely 100%. They would be the driver and the team to watch. But when you look at, you know, what are we going to see next year? We saw Dylan Blankhorn once. We saw him in Sydney in a legend car. There was no 67 car come out of this town and do anything. So Cole, obviously, if you talk about the Jonathan Hicken, Ashton Tucker, if you see a big three there in pro stock racing this year, Cole Butcher was the third. Cole won the Jim Hallahan 250, had some really good runs at Speedway 660, was on the podium for the 250, had some good runs at Petty Raceway. He was probably the third name in that conversation.
Agreed.
Albeit Jonathan Hicken and Ashton Tucker kind of dominated the headlines. But if you look at next year, no Jonathan Hicken. If Ashton Tucker comes full-time and there is a tour per se, because who knows what COVID is going to look like, who knows what the business model for racetracks are going to look like here next year.
Yeah.
Those would be the two that I would really watch. And obviously with Dylan Blankhorn coming back, that trophy still sitting here in Truro at Autorite.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I know this pandemic isn't even close to being over here in Canada. And I've been saying it, I've been sounding the alarm for months that these racetracks, I don't care where they are in Canada, need some financial support from our government, or there's going to be less tracks, Tim, on the other side of this, as you well know from doing what you do. You do the same thing we do, and you know that they cannot operate without fans, and it's ridiculous to think that they're going to get any kind of forward momentum or anywhere close to financial support in earning it themselves. This is a killer. It is a killer not only of people at 5%, it's also a killer of speedways, in my estimation. And if we don't get some sort of support through federal or provincial, this could be very, very detrimental to this sport. Would you agree?
At the end of the day, yes. They're all a business. They all have mortgage payments to pay, and especially in a Canadian winter, you have 5, 6-ish, maybe a couple of more weeks to make that thing work. Unless you think outside the box. You do snowmobile racing, you do something like that in the winter to try to make it happen. Here, our Atlantic bubble, our numbers have been great. It allows us to travel back and forth. The only real restrictive region in the province of New Brunswick is up in Brad Mann's area in Campbellton, where they're back to, you know, no mass gatherings, no anything like that. But on the other side of it, too, I think the biggest story in New Brunswick has to be Speedway Mayor Machie this year. Barry Richard was ready to shut the doors on that place. There was mortgage payments that were needed to be made. They had a phenomenal season. The for sale sign came down before their last event on October 24th. Barry's going to keep through. They've made enough to make the mortgage payment. Their average demolition car count, I think, was in the 50s.
Yeah.
They had 61 the last time we were there. They had 76 back in September. A lot of new faces to that speedway, too, in the grandstands and also in the pits. For New Brunswick, that's what this industry needs. Speedway 660 on the other side, we talked about racetrack businesses. They opened up Rutgers Reels, which is a drive-in movie theater on the same property, just to try to think outside the box, to try to do that. But this pandemic has brought out some different ways of thinking. It's brought out a lot of negative or bad, but it's also brought out a ton of good as well. Mayor Machie has to be near the top of the list. I've been there for, I think, 4 races this year with the Tim's Corner TV deal. Barry's phenomenal at doing what he does. The people are great. It's one of those hidden gems, per se, in the Maritimes, that if you haven't been there yet, you have to get up there. They're talking about winter plans already, too, so hats off to Barry, Denver, Doug, and all the staff up there.
Yeah, awesome. Glad to hear that the track is going to survive. I've seen it for sale. I went, oh, my God. And for the money that they were asking, that thing is going to sell. And, you know, the aerial views and everything else, it looks like a pretty cool racetrack, too.
Yeah, that place hasn't been paved or it was almost resurfaced a couple of years ago. It hasn't been repaved since it was opened. I know Denver's going to shoot me because I don't have the numbers not popping up. But it was the 50s, I think. Built that racetrack, 50s or 60s. So it's abrasive on tires. It's got a lot of character. It's different in 1 and 2 than it is in 3 and 4, both radius and banking. So you have to drive that place in order to make it work. And the great thing about it is, you know, the stock car guys kind of grimace at a demolition. The demolition guys don't really like stock car racing and vice versa. They built a bomber division this year, which kind of takes that demolition mindset. 6-cylinder race car, beat the guts out of the inside, you know, strip the dash, whatever else, put an H-bar in it, go racing. They started with 4 cars in June at their first race. I think we ended off with over 20 cars the last race in October.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's thinking outside the box. Barry and them have done a great job to do so. So that place is it's in the middle of a subdivision. You wouldn't know it's there. You're driving through a subdivision and all of a sudden the racetrack appears. Racetrack was there obviously before the subdivision was, but great area. It's a little ways out of the way. It's an hour and a half away from Petty Raceway. It's about 2 hours away from Fredericton, depending how fast you drive. But it's one of those great things, and Barry's already talking about, hey, we'd love to see late model racing up here next year. We brought the Bandoleros and the Legends back this year, so maybe that's something for the 2021 conversation. I know it's a little bit early, but the wheels are turning up there for sure.
No, that's good. That's good, and I know as the off season progresses, and we're just getting into it now, we are going to hear a lot of news, a lot of plans. Just everybody's going to set up, I would imagine, for 2021, and they'll have everything crossed, their fingers, their toes, and absolutely everything that someone comes up with a vaccine and we can go back to normal. And, you know, if you listen to the scientists and stuff, it doesn't sound like it's going to be there until late spring or maybe even summer before we're going to get to that. And, you know, if it's late summer, that's no good. That's no good for racing. That means that we're going to miss a bunch. So let's hope they're wrong.
As long as the numbers, and I can't speak for the rest of the country, but with the Atlantic bubble, as long as the numbers stay where they are here, I think the crowds are going to get bigger. They obviously have to a little bit. I said earlier, I'm sitting in the Raff Eastlink Center parking lot, and the game must have just got over because everybody's heading towards their cars. 600 people in that arena tonight.
Right.
That'll grow as long as our numbers stay down. The Scotiabank Arena, when they announced they were putting mass gatherings together, it was the Scotiabank Arena, Riverside International Seaway, Scotia Speed World, and Center 200. They've worked with the provinces. They've made everything work. I think for if we can stay consistent in the Atlantic bubble and there's no outbreaks per se, I think we're okay. We're not where we should be, but we're okay.
Right.
It's just a matter of everybody working together, provincial governments, and making everything work. As long, the only racetrack that didn't get open this year was Oyster Bed Speedway.
Right.
Everybody else got at least one race. It might not have been the best season. I know Lake Dowsett said they had an awesome season down in Yarmouth. They were one of the first ones in Nova Scotia to open.
Dowsett.
we had that fight last week in Miramichi too. Brittany Squares. But anyway,
okay.
They had a great season. They had 250 person bubbles. It was awesome. But now it's a matter of trying to figure this thing out for 2021.
Yeah, and it's going to. Everybody's going to be working on it, and let's just keep everything crossed. Tim, this is the time of the season that you flip the switch from going out, getting in your car, and heading to all these tracks to heading into your computer room, and iRacing all fires up. What's Tim Corner got all set for iRacing?
Well, we're actually going to start in the middle of November with a 300-lap. It's going to be a special event. We're going to open it up outside the Atlantic bubble, per se. So anybody that wants to compete can. Signups are open. You can go to timscorner.ca/iRacing300. We have a couple of qualifying nights. So everybody gets a part of the deal and gets to do a little bit of racing. And then we have the final race on Friday, November 20th. We've got a quote-unquote weekly series in the works where we're going to go to one racetrack. The weather is going to be different every single night. Going to be open setup so those drivers can tweak on their race cars, and it's going to be short little features. So and there's going to be a little payout at the end of that one too. So that's going to be pretty exciting to be a part of. And obviously with iRacing, the big thing this week is the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series ends tomorrow night, Monday night. Four drivers going for the championship. The winner of that championship, whoever finishes on top of who, like the NASCAR system the way it is going to pick up $100,000. So that's not chunk change. It's going to be great. Keegan Leahy, Dylan Duvall did not make the final four, but it was they fought all the way down to the end. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know what? They can't. All she can do is try, and those guys are dynamite at what they do. Kind of cool that we had a couple of Canadians in it. But I do. I have taken part in some of your iRacing stuff. It is a blast. It's a great way for guys to keep that shine, if you will, on what they do in the middle of the winter. You know, what else we got to do? We're Canadians, so we're going to switch it over to iRacing. I know you usually like to splitting out of Nova Scotia there, and you go down and start helping Tony out. Are plans in the works for you to continue to do that, or is the border shut and that's going to throw a screw to that too?
From talking to some of the people that have been down there already, I know there's a couple of people that have already headed stateside. Obviously, the government has said, no, that's not the greatest thing to do, what have you, all the precautions per se. But from my understanding, we can get down there. We just have to self-isolate when we get back.
Yeah,
So,
that's the only deal.
Yeah, so as long as the flights, The other problem is trying to fly to Charlotte. I think you have to do a couple of different hops now because Air Canada canceled their flight from Toronto to Charlotte.
Right.
So now it's just a matter of trying to figure that out. The wheels have been turning. My plan was supposed to be down there for Legend Car Nationals. The Road Course World Finals comes up on Legend Station and Pit Row TV next weekend.
Yep.
Wish I could be there. We tried some different things to try to virtually get me there, but it didn't work. But they're already in the plans for trying to do something for February. I know there's a couple of events that are going on down there, so who really knows? I don't even know yet. All I know is that I still have a Air Canada credit from when I was supposed to go down to Texas. So who really knows what the next couple of months are going to hold? Who knows? All I know is that for me to come back and have to self-isolate now with a couple of banquets and rules meetings and everything else just doesn't make sense.
No.
For me in late February, early March, it's a little bit slower. I might be able to afford 14 days of self-quarantine and self-isolation at that point in the winter, but it all depends what's going on, what the schedule looks like, all that stuff, what goes on with the COVID-19 pandemic, what the borders look like. So I don't think anybody really knows at this point.
No, same here. We were looking at doing Daytona in 2021 and getting things fired up on Speed Weeks, and that plan still is not totally out the window. I would like to go down and do it. I wouldn't care if I had to come home and self-isolate for 14 days, but you know what, Tim? We've gone this far without getting sick. It'd be kind of nice to not get sick and be able to continue on, right?
Yeah, exactly. And seeing all the stuff that Tony had from Vegas and the Cars Tour North State Nationals, the $30,000 win race at Greenville, and this week with the Southeast Super Trucks, Tony's had a really great run of races and some entertaining races as well. The Southeast Super Trucks put on an awesome show last night at Tri-County. But Hopefully we can get down there and enjoy some of that and enjoy some of the warmer weather, per se, because it is starting to get cold around here and everything else. It is winter at the end of the day. So hopefully we can do that. But we'll have some iRacing. We've got some racing at Carthon as well in Halifax. We're actually racing there 1 week from Monday. So with the Nova Scotia restrictions, they're allowing us to be able to go and put a group together and go race the carts. So we're excited for that, too. Registration is just open tonight. So if you're in the Halifax area and want to get together with some racing people and, you know, do some racing, do some bench racing upstairs and do some racing on the carts, we're going to be there next Monday, too. So,
Tim, it sounds like it's going to be exciting. We sure appreciate the wrap-up. And I know we look forward to getting you back on as things start ramping up for 2021. I know when they start making plans, I know you're not far away from it. And we'll get you back on the show and talk 2021 the next time. Sound good?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I actually had a weekend off this weekend. I want to say happy birthday to Jessica Somerville. Her birthday was last weekend. Got to go up and celebrate with her and Larry and the Somerville clan this weekend. Got an off weekend next weekend. Going to go up and visit the crew in Miramichi and kind of close off the TV side of things. That was kind of my little pet project this year with no pro stock tour racing. So head over to timscorner.tv. You can see some of the action that we had there. So get to go up and celebrate with Denver and Brittany and Sam and all them. And then coming up in the next couple of weeks, it gets busy with iRacing. And from there, it's drivers meetings, rules meetings, everything that we can do with COVID restrictions, and then hopefully go racing tonight.
Well, I envy you being up there with Jess and Larry. Man, I miss those guys. Miss all of you guys. And hopefully 2021, we can put that to bed and we can all get back together. That would be a blast.
The only thing that I learned on the weekend is don't send Larry to the wine store.
No.
That's the only thing that I learned from Jessica, but that's probably a story for another time and off the air.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Tim Cherry, thanks so much for the time. Did your Bearcats win?
I don't know. The crowd came out a little bit later than I thought they would. We were up 5-2, but I'm a Kevin Harvick fan, so knowing what happened today, there's no... I expect the unexpected all the time, so I'm assuming they did, but I'll find out here in a bit. Brad Mann's team can't compete right now because they're still in the orange restrictions for COVID. So Brad is still waiting and trying to get all that. We were going to invite him a couple of weeks ago to our wrap-up show in Miramichi, but I know we couldn't get him out. But the next time, when they turn yellow, we're going to have to get a hold of him and you know, maybe talk some camels and tigers.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, and sorry, I'm glad you came on with us, and sorry that you missed the end of the game, man. You watched the whole thing until the end, and then you jumped on with us.
Well, again, 5-2, hopefully they wrapped it up. There was 8 minutes left in the game, so it wasn't like it was the whole game. But it's kind of weird with these COVID restrictions. You have to stay within your bubble. I had 5 or 6 text messages when I came in saying that they saw my car out in the parking lot, so... want to say a shout out to Hannah Porter and Taylor Albert. Couldn't get over and see them here tonight with the COVID restrictions, but At least they knew my car was here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Were you able to clap when your team scored, or could you not do that?
You have to have the mask on, so you can cheer all you want because there's no droplets coming out of your mouth. They're going into the mask.
Right,
You can clap, cheer all you want. You know, there's all that. They have the groups split up that if you are a single gentleman like myself, you can go and get a single ticket to the game. Or you can have a group of up to six. They did a great job at the Rapp Eastlink Center tonight, I must say, splitting it up into pods and everything else. I guess they learned from a couple of racetracks who had the first crack at it, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Too bad it cost us so much to teach them.
Yeah, absolutely. There wasn't a whole lot of fencing and everything else here like there was at the two racetracks. But we got a couple of racing. We got to see some pro stock racing, so I guess that's the great thing, and these little arenas got to learn a little bit from our proposal.
That's right. Tim, have safe travels home, my friend, and I know we look forward to getting you back here on Racetime Radio.
Sounds good. Thank you, Joe.
That is Tim Terry, timscorner.ca. You can check him out, iRacing, all of that coming up, and he does a great job with everything in the off season, and always a regular here on Racetime. We'll hit our break, and we will be back. Stay with us. We still got the director of the Gander Truck Series coming up. We got Brad Moran going to join us after a little bit. He'll join us, and we'll talk about that final Truck Series race that's coming up at Phoenix, along with Xfinity. I've got a little clip here with Harrison Burton you're going to hear on the other side of the break. And, of course, we got to talk Cup. We got some big stuff happening. Stay with us.
Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, Tom, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Fox News Headlines 24/7 is on SiriusXM with headlines every 15 minutes.
I'm Kevin Brincon.
I'm Therese Crowley.
I'm Jim McKay.
A channel that delivers your world news, business, what's trending in digital, entertainment, and sports.
Your news in a way you've never heard before with headlines every 15 minutes.
Fox News Headlines 24/7. All the information you need, ready when you are.
We're live from America's News Headquarters.
SiriusXM Channel 115 or listen on the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Junior, can you see Ken laying back with his lead guitar playing that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Polar Bear. That's one of my favorites. It brings us back
weekly.
After the third break. Every week. Yeah,
right.
Got to keep it there.
That's right.
Got to keep it there. It's dramatic.
You know that it's winding down. The show is winding down. It's a green white checkered only left, and you know, you got one guest and wrap it up.
Do we have a guest coming
up?
We
do for sure. Yeah. We got the head cat director.
The
right?
Director of the Gander Mountain Truck Series.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It doesn't
ever,
get any bigger. This
ever,
guy
You ever
is,
tried to herd cats? That's yeah. what it's like being the director of one
cats.
Of these series.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Brad, just so you know, you may not know Brad Moran's name because it's been a while since he's been here in Canada, in Ontario. But the director of that truck series that we all watch, he is actually Canadian.
Yep.
He's from Barrie, Ontario. And back at Barrie Speedway, remember back when Barrie Speedway was there? There you got Sunset Speedway in Stroud, and you've got Barrie Speedway a little bit north of Barrie.
Yep, Highway 11.
Highway 11, and that's Brad Mann, or Brad Mann, sorry. Brad Mann's out in New Brunswick. Brad Moran is, see how I just about said man once again?
Yep.
It's so close, man, Moran.
Yep.
Brad Moran used to be one of the owners at Barrie Speedway.
For sure.
And he was responsible, actually, for getting NASCAR, the weekly series, involved in at Barrie Speedway,
and
along with
then,
Delaware Speedway.
Back then, it was the Dodge Weekly Series.
It was.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Back then, and it was a big deal. It was a big deal.
It's the same deal as the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series,
There was over 186 tracks involved in the day back then.
Yeah.
Today, correct. Not even close to that.
No,
not even close to that.
I think the number right now is like 87 tracks or something like that. It was just on.
Oh, I don't think it's that high, bud.
Josh Berry was the champion this year of the Advanced Auto Parts NASCAR Weekly Division.
Congratulations,
and
Josh Berry.
Josh Berry, of course, drives for Junior Motorsports and those guys. Really interesting on the Dale Jr. Dirty Mo podcast. You can go back and listen to Josh Berry's interview. You know, with Dale Jr. and those guys, and kind of depicts the benefits of what is the NASCAR Weekly Division.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. You know, we've had teams or tracks do this across Canada. Lots. You know, we've had Delaware Speedway, Barrie Speedway, we've had Sauble Speedway. Varney
Sunset.
Speedway was announced this year that they were going to, and then, you know, back and forth, on and off. And then, of course, you've got Eastbound, you've got Chaudière out in Quebec. You know, there's
Saint-Eustache was
as well. So we've got lots of, you know, we've had lots of involvement from the weekly series of NASCAR.
Over
how it works and the main benefits of it worked very well. Between when you had Barrie Speedway and Delaware Speedway together, both being NASCAR sanctioned. Now, I say that, but they couldn't work together because the rule books were so far separated.
Yeah, they were way off.
Down
you had to
south,
have two cars if you're going to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. The winners of the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series, the NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Series, whatever you want to call it now, the weekly division, really, they allow for any class, really. It narrows it down to your best
18 finishes.
Now it's 14.
Now it's 14.
Your best 14 finishes get counted towards it. And how the points are awarded are where you start to where you finish. So there's bonus points for every car that you pass, basically.
As long as you're registered. As long as you're registered.
Exactly. Exactly.
We've seen that one blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And that one went under the carpet.
How it works is, so if you started 20th and you won every night, you know, it's based off of a field of, I believe, 18 cars. It might be 16. But if you start dead last and drive to the front and you pass all the cars and you win the race, you get max points. And that's how it's awarded across the board. Now, there's the national top 500, which is the national standings. It works very, very, very well in the North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee corridor.
Yeah.
And I only say that because the late model stock division is kind of the cream of the crop in that level.
Mm.
They can go and they can race at Hickory one night. They can race at Langley. They can race at Kingsport. They can race at all these different tracks. South Boston, you know, there's a whole pile of racetracks that are within, you know, a 2.5 hour drive
I
of
know,
each other.
That's another conversation.
But
that's
it, another what conversation. I'm saying
I know
is,
what you're
is,
saying,
is,
but what
is,
I'm
such
trying
a cool division. That's all I'm saying.
I know. But you're taking a long way to say it. What I'm trying to do is give the listeners a little background on Brad Moran.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was from Barry Speedway, responsible to get the weekly series in.
Yep.
And then after that, Brad went into the NASCAR Pindy Series, NASCAR Canadian Tire Series.
Absolutely.
Operated that series, did a fantastic job with it, and grew Canada Series. It went up into the NASCAR Pindy Series. And all of a sudden, we lost Brad. Brad Moran went south of the border. Daytona loved him so much that they brought him in-house. And Brad started working his way through the NASCAR K&N series and the NASCAR. He did all of that. And eventually, Brad Moran worked his way right up to the director of what we know today as the Gander Truck Series. And as a matter of fact, we got that director on the hotline right now. So that gives you some background on Brad Moran. And we have him right now. Bradley, what's going on? It's been so long, brother.
Hey, man. How you doing? I hear I got the Joe and Joe team.
You do.
You got us, buddy.
You got us both. Great to hear your voice, Brad. It's been a long time since you and I have chatted.
Yeah, awesome. I'm glad you had me on. It's been a crazy year, and we're just digging our way through it, you know, and just glad to be here to talk about it.
Brad, in a normal year, you'd be pulling your hair out with practice qualifying and everything that happens throughout the course of one of your truck series races. What happens out of any NASCAR race or any race at a short track, really? But this year has been totally different. Hats off to NASCAR, and I know we had Grant Enfinger on earlier tonight, and he also said, man, I got to hand it to NASCAR. Where we could have lost a lot of races and we could have had a lot of stuff happen to us, NASCAR did it. They got everything put together. We never skipped a beat and got all of our races in. So from the competitor base, you got accolades for that as well. But what's it been like trying to put a season together through the middle of a pandemic that we haven't suffered in 100 years?
It's definitely a first for me. I mean, it's been crazy. We got two races in, and then we got shut down. And, you know, what I thought would probably be like a short little shutdown ended up being a couple months. And our rules were set that we couldn't set a field till we had three races done. And now we're no practice, no qualifying. We had to go back, look at the rule book, figure out what we could do to make it fair and fair for all the competitors that, you know, put deals together, and we're planning on participating full-time in the 2020 season. So we had a lot of work to do once we seen what we were up against, and then obviously just trying to get it done. You know, our team and many people from NASCAR got at it and tried to figure this out with all, you know, the CDC guidelines and local governments and just how we could save the season and keep everybody going and keep everybody in business. And, you know, we come up with a plan, and, man, I'll tell you, I've never seen like it for a pandemic. We expanded the field to 40 trucks. We had 47 of them want to come to Charlotte for the comeback, you know, when we got back to racing. And we've just been going strong ever since. We're being real safe. We're doing, you know, everything we can do to keep everybody in the community safe and obviously everybody in the industry safe. So we had to change a lot of things, like you mentioned, without qualifying, practice. But you know what? We're getting it done. We got one more to go, and we'll have a 2020 champion.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I know all of us are excited for Phoenix coming up this weekend. Before I ask you about that, I got to ask you about Martinsville. There's been a lot of hair-raising races that we have seen in the truck series. But this one here, man, it takes the cake. Martinsville was not only exciting, but it had more twists and turns than CTMP did any day, and it kind of reminded me of the CPNT, the finish that we would see at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park with the contact. And there was a lot of contact, but it wasn't just at the front. It was all the way through the field. Must have been something for the officials to sort of stand back and take a look at the end of the race.
Yeah, well, you know, we got the rules set, and, I mean, it's winner take all, and I mean, you witnessed it. I mean, everybody had everything to gain and everything to lose. And you know, short track Martinsville, there was no doubt there was contact throughout the field. It was aggressive. It's a short race to begin with, like all the truck races, and you know, these boys and girls, they put their elbows up and they get after it. And I mean, it was probably pretty exciting for the fans sitting at home watching it.
Brad, obviously, you know, you watched a lot of races at Barry Speedway, short little bull ring. You know, overseen a tremendous amount of time at Barry Speedway. Does it feel a little bit like going back home to Barry Speedway when you watch, you know, 39 trucks, 38 trucks at Martinsville?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's really sweet, you know, and you go to a short track and, you know, man, the energy level's high. I mean, this is it for these guys. They got one shot to make it to Phoenix, and, there was eight of them trying to get those four spots. Two of them were locked in, and I mean, it's game on. And they drive like that. And you know, funny thing is, they do that anywhere. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the truck series. The races are short, the stages are short, so even at a mile and a half, these guys get after it. But yeah, it is. It's pretty cool because it reminds me of the old All Star days and everything else when we were running at Barry, and you know, we were never usually short of action there.
No, never.
No, never.
Those guys would end the race with no fenders, no hood. They're no talk of aerodynamics at Barry Speedway. I can guarantee that. Just just straight up hard racing, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amazing. Brad, looking into Phoenix, there is no rule changes for this race. They're still not going to be able to practice. They're not going to be qualifying. They're going to be starting heads up. And from an officiating standpoint, even on a championship race, doesn't matter whether it's the first race of the year or the final race of the year, the officiating is the same, correct? These guys are just have at her.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, we don't officiate for what race it is or what round eight or championship four or the first race of Daytona. I mean, the rules are the rules. We follow them. We hope we have good, hard racing, but you know, keeping it in line, and you know, everybody's not always going to be happy with the results. We don't, we like to see good, hard side by side racing, and that's what we usually get. And you know, the drivers and the teams work it out.
Brad, there's been a lot of talk, you know, in the industry about the savings of not having practice and qualifying. What does that look like, you know, obviously down there? What does it look like? What are you hearing about the savings that the teams are able to have because there isn't all that extra expense?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously had to make sure, well, first of all, we had a lot of restrictions that didn't allow certain things. We had to kind of cut all our time at the racetrack.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things that kind of led us to the decisions that were made. Obviously, from a team standpoint, you got to remember, we have, any race, we could have 18, 20 rookies. So, you know, when we first started talking about going racing with no practice, I mean, the teams probably thought we were losing our minds, but this is what we had to do, and you could see they all reacted. They all figured it out. I mean, we had rookies win. You know, I mean, the Sheldon Creed got four wins. Zane Smith got two wins. Raphael got a win. You know, this is with no practice and qualifying. It's tough for the rookies, but boy, I'll tell you, they picked it up. And the teams, as far as the economics of it, absolutely benefited, because it's not even the wear and tear on the equipment and you know, the engine mileage and the extra tires and all that. It's the people at the track were cut back to essential workers only, and it was reduced slightly. But the main savings as well is they didn't have to bring backup trucks. They could tag up sometimes two teams in one hauler crossing the country. A lot less preparation. Now, again, with our schedule being as condensed, I mean, we didn't go back to race until May 26th. And only had two races in prior to that. So we had to cram a lot of racing in a short time. And, you know, if we had backups, they'd all have to bring backups. You got, you know, GMS with five teams, 10 trucks, you know, Thor Sport, 8 trucks. I mean, that's a lot of work for the teams to prepare those trucks. And the backup trucks are prepared to go right on the track because our windows are so tight. We almost do one-day shows anyway. So the savings is great for the teams, and the real savings is all that preparation that didn't need to be done. They got to focus on one truck, and that's the truck they were going to race.
Absolutely. And to kind of follow that up a little bit, you know, on the the overall cost saving side, do you, I don't know if you echo this or not, but I see it, you know, as a fan watching, that if the stages weren't a part of this sport, you know, if it was just the traditional drop the green flag and go to the checkered, I don't think that we'd see the as great a racing as we are right now, because the guys are basically treating the first stage as practice and then making their adjustments when the first yellow comes out, and then the racing just it amplifies so dramatically. Do you think that we would see as good a racing if we didn't have stages right now?
No, I mean, I'm a fan of the stages. You know, exactly. I mean, obviously, you give points away. I mean, the truck races are so short, and the stages are so short. Sometimes they're, you know, 35, 40 laps. And you throw that green flag, they're on it. I mean, there's a playoff point up for grabs every stage. There's 10 additional, you know, 10 additional season champion points available. I mean, it absolutely amps up each race, and each stage is important. I mean, you look, you know, Matt Grab missed out by 3 points, unfortunately. You know, those 3 points are just a couple of positions in one of the stages. I mean, you can't leave anything on the table. So it just amplifies that and makes every lap important throughout the entire season.
We're with Brad Moran tonight. He is the director of the Gander Truck Series. We're going to watch the final four go for a championship come Phoenix on Friday night. It's going to be incredible. I can guarantee you that. You don't want to miss it. Brad, do you think, is the talk going to be the same for 2021 with this format? Or do you think we'll revert back to what we've seen earlier?
No, I think, it's kind of been talked about a little bit. And you know, our schedule is not finalized. We're still working on it. But there are going to be a few events that will have practice and qualify, and probably some new venues. More likely, like the Daytona event, will have it. But the majority probably will look very similar. I mean, we don't know where we're going to be at with this pandemic. It's probably going to look very similar to what we have today. Can't wait to get the schedule out. We know we're going to Circuit of America. We know we're going to the Bristol Dirt race. So some of these have been announced and talked about. So we're pretty excited about that, but we're looking forward to getting our 2021 schedule out, and I believe it'll probably be a bit of a mix.
Ah, yeah, and that sounds exciting too. That'll be exciting for the teams and the fans. I did see, I don't know whether it was a draft or maybe somebody was just poking around, but I did see a CTMP on there for September 3rd, 2021. Is that in the development stages just yet?
I don't know for sure, Joe. I haven't seen the entire schedule. We sure hope it is. I mean, our teams love coming to Canada. Obviously, I like going home. Run a lot of races there, and it's always exciting and adds to the season. And the teams love all the fans from Canada, so I sure hope to see it on the schedule, but I have not seen an official 2021 schedule as of yet.
Well, if I had my vote, I'd have it starting at CTMP and then bring them back in September, because we missed one. We miss you guys, Brad. We miss you big time.
Yeah, start at CTMP, end at CTMP, maybe throw a Jucasa in there, a Delaware Speedway race in there. That'd be cool, you know, just come up here for a month, and then you guys can go home.
I'm in. I don't know if everybody would be, receptive to it, but yeah, I'm good. I'll do it. No, the teams love going there. They really do. And, I certainly hope that we're back next year.
Well, we sure hope you are too. And we wish you nothing but the best for Phoenix, Brad. We love what you're doing with this series, and just hats off to you, my friend. I'm honored to know you. And you do a dynamite job keeping everything in check. And I know we're in for a championship race like we all deserve. And I know it's going to be off the hook. Good luck. Get your bottle of Tylenol out and enjoy yourself. I know you're going to have a good time.
Oh, hey, listen, that's awesome. I always love talking to you guys. I watch what you do. I'm always listening and watching what you're doing. As usual, you guys always do a great job. I thank all the fans and all the people in Canada, and as well everybody in North America that watches the trucks. And hopefully we deliver at Phoenix. I'm pretty sure we will. There's three that have never been in this position, and you got Brett Moffitt that took 20 races to win this year. So the competition is stiff, and it is going to be one heck of a show, I think.
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, Brad, it's snowing outside. What I'm going to do after the show is I'm going to make a little snowball, and I'll try and get it down to you and Joe just so you can smell it.
That sounds good. I think we're going to be 70s this week, so I'm kind of liking it.
Ooh, you bugger.
You may as well just swore at my
dad. Yeah, you may as well have. Brad, it's been great, brother. Thanks so much. Have a good one. Say hi to Joe for us, will you?
Will do. Thank you, guys, and stay safe, and looking forward to seeing you.
Brad Moran, director of the NASCAR Gander Truck Series. They don't make them better than that. This guy's doing the job, Junior.
For sure. And you know, when
watch out, Xfinity. Watch out, Cup. He's coming.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yep.
You know, he's doing such a great job, and the Truck Series is doing a wonderful job right now, on track, obviously, and off. You know, when you do look at the health and you know, where the series is, you can go back a couple of years, and there was teams falling out of this deal.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
there was,
yeah.
And
not
big
long
name,
ago.
Big name teams, you know, that fell out of the Truck Series. And, you know, when you look at the state of it right now, you're seeing an upswing for sure, without a question. More of an ability to get, you know, startup teams in. You know, you're seeing more and more guys who race late model teams, you know, come out for a few starts. And, you know, guys who race World of Outlaw cars, they come out for a few starts. And, you know, that shows the health of a series. You know, when you have guys at the top or at the top of any other discipline wanting to come to that series, it shows the health of it. And really, you're seeing that in the Truck Series right now. It's coming back. And that's what the roots of that series is. And he alluded to it a little bit, and there's tons of rumors on what new venues they're going to be going to. You know, I think across the entire sport, there's been lots of rumors. There's been lots of you know, hope and wishing for other venues for the Truck Series, and I think we're going to see it, and I think we're going to see it over the next 3 to 5 years.
It's all a byproduct from the top, and that's where Brad is. He's at the top directing this series. He's the guy in the corner going into the boardroom at NASCAR and saying, here's what we need to do, guys. And he's getting the job done. Good job, Brad Moran. Look forward to the championship weekend coming up at Phoenix. Final break of the night. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Get your race fix anytime online. www.racetimeradio.com. Also available on Facebook. Just search Racetime Radio. And as always, you can drop us an email. info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four, and so much more. Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Woo!
There's
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime, SiriusXM Channel 167. A program note. Got to let you all know right now, next Sunday, November the 8th, Racetime Radio is going to be preempted for the soccer championship or a soccer game of some sort. I don't know whether it's championship or not. Don't follow soccer. I just got the note from SiriusXM. So we will take a holiday next Sunday. We're not going to be on the air next Sunday. We're going to take 1 week off, and then we are going to come back. And we will go right from there all the way to Christmas and New Year's. So we're going to get a little break. The channel's got a program change for 1 week next Sunday, November the 8th. No Racetime Radio, but we will be back. So don't worry about that. We will be back. Now, before we talk Cup, I do want to say, and I want to hear from Harrison Burton. He won the Xfinity race. Not part of the Final Four in Xfinity, but here's what Harrison had to say.
We wish we could have been in this round of the playoffs because that would have been a pretty good round for us to get to Phoenix. But, you know, honestly, once we got eliminated, that made me so hungry and made my race team so hungry to prove that we were deserving of a spot in the Championship Four. And we obviously didn't do our job in the first three races, but we wanted to prove that we were capable of doing what we needed to do. And it's been really nice to do that. Winning is amazing, and winning at Texas the way we did was incredible. And now winning at Martinsville, which is a place where I made my first truck start. It's where my dad won his first Xfinity race. Just so many things that make Martinsville special to me. And to do it in the way we did it was awesome.
Yeah, dynamite for young Harrison Burton. I got a soft spot for all these young guys, right? Like Harrison Burton we had on the show when he was in a late model. Had Harrison on a few times,
yep.
In the truck series and so on. Always a great talent. Always look forward to getting him on the show. Same thing with Chase Elliott. You'll remember, or maybe you won't, but back in the day when there was a race at Wilkesboro.
Yep.
And Chase Elliott was super young, yep, in a late model.
Yep.
He got the win, and we talked to him on Race Time. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yeah. Yep. That was a long time ago.
It was wild because I phoned the number to get Chase, and awesome Bill from Dawsonville answered the phone.
Yep.
And I went, hey, Bill, can we talk to not you, but we want to talk to Chase? And he goes, yeah, sure.
Yep.
So we put him on, and we had Chase Elliott.
For sure.
Good for him. I know we only got, like, I don't know, 2 minutes left here, Junior, but thoughts heading into the Cup race with the Final Four there. You got Keselowski in there. You got Logano in there. You got Hamlin in there. What do you think? What do you think? Who is going to be the guy standing at the end?
I think the top four is lucky that Kevin Harvick is not in that.
Oh, he missed it just by that much.
Missed it just by a little bit, but when you look at his success at Phoenix, Kevin Harvick not being there, I think that, you know, for the first time in a long time, the winner of the race is not going to be the champion of the series.
Harvick said it best in his interview. You've got to put together three races in this deal.
Yep.
He said it's not like before. You got to put together three races, and
exactly,
we didn't.
Yep. And, you know, when you look at the success that Harvick has at Phoenix, you know, if he would have got into the Final Four, I would put him as a favorite to win the championship. Now, I still put him as a favorite to win the race. That being said, you know, if they can minimize mistakes, Denny Hamlin, I think, is going to be your champion on that front.
Taking Hamlin then?
I think you have to.
I will take Logano.
Yeah?
I will take Logano to repeat as a champion.
You think so?
Yep.
I don't know.
He's going to be the man.
Yep.
That's going to do it for us tonight on Racetime Radio. We sure do appreciate all of you tuning in. And don't forget, you can get to racetimeradio.com if you missed any. Or how about that SiriusXM app? I do believe the powers to be have got that hooked up, and you can get it right here on the SiriusXM app. Don't forget to tune in to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio all week long. Leading up to the weekend, you will hear stuff that you won't hear absolutely anywhere else on any channel. You want to tune in to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, starting it all off with a morning drive with Mike and Pete, and then going right through the different shows, right up to Moody and beyond. You don't want to miss it. Tune in to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, fans, and we will be back with you the weekend after November the 8th. That's it for us. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.